Good afternoon.
Has joined.
Afternoon.
Randall.
Good afternoon.
Has joined.
Afternoon.
Understood to all.
Kodesh Tov.
So we're studying tonight from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parashat Vayera. We're going to start in section 17. We're going to start with Pasuk 20 after we start with the Lashem Yehud. Comments, thoughts.
here's another example of another patriarch or great sage bargaining with Hashem.
But he's saying that in Moses' bargaining, it was perfect.
When Honey got in this, you know, drew the circle and got in the circle and said, until it rains, I'm not leaving.
Right.
In other words, it isn't just wondering if Hashem is going to do it. It's just almost demanding that Hashem, you know, we don't think that we can do that. Don't do it to our parents, but us, to Hashem.
That's very true. The question is...
the certainty.
Exactly.
Right.
It's all about certainty. But right. it's more expansive even than certainty. Because how often do we hear modern rabbis, modern Orthodox rabbis, Reform rabbis of all stripes, we hear them say, we need to care for other Jews. But here Moses is saying, not only do I care for other Jews, but I am caring for those who have made mistakes. They were told not to worship idols, and they worshiped an idol. That's a mistake, a big mistake. And yet Moses does not exclude them. And yet, you know, the halakha says we're not supposed to play with sinners. And that's why we sing Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur, because it addresses that issue, praying with sinners. All of the coming year, we're allowing ourselves to pray with sinners. Moses, you know, he had just written. He'd been instructed to what to write in the Torah, so he knew that the halakha was not to pray with sinners, and yet he stood up to God and said no. If you cannot forgive them, take me out of your book. That was after Moses was promised that he'd build a nation from him. And this is the major issue. It's the major issue in this pasuk. Is that, and what makes allows the Zohar to say that Moses' actions were perfect, because he went against the halakha and saying, this is not right. You're absolutely correct. They sinned. But even though they sinned, you cannot leave them out. When we deal with other people, we don't know who has a Jewish soul and who does not. We have 10 lost tribes spread throughout the nation. We can't leave them out. We are incomplete without them. And yet you hear constantly modern rabbis saying, take care of the Jews. In effect, leaving out the other 10 tribes. And yes, they've been gone for 2,500 years. But they're still making us incomplete when they're not here. That, in my opinion, is what's the strength of this pasuk. Would anybody else like to comment or question or disagree with me? Because you're entitled to.
I think there's not too many situations that we get put in that we aren't humbled by them because we were maybe did the same action or the same group of people. I know with my leaving Christianity and, you know, the church was just right around the corner from my house. I went to church every morning, all my years of high school and everything. And yet when, after, 50 years, and coming to know Hashem as the ultimate sovereign, and then get asked to come and teach to the sixth graders at that Catholic school about the man from Nazareth as a Jew. I mean, the very church I went to, the very school I taught at, you know, it makes you, it humbles you, believe me.
It does. And I didn't, because it's not my background, but I've had issues where I am humbled quite frequently, and it's something we have to remember. Let's go on to verse 221.
I will say one other thing, that when you're upon earth, because you pull yourself away from what you no longer believe for a long time, and I saw it in myself, and I see it in others, you really don't want to have anything to do with that side anymore. And so you have to come back and walk it a different way. But right at first, you know, it's like you don't want to touch them, you don't want to talk to them, you see them at the aisle in the grocery store, and you go to the next aisle to avoid them. And, you know, it's a stage, but then you gradually have to walk back and get back in balance with we're all children of Hashem. And if this generation is a generation of the desert, then we're all children of Israel. So on a certain mark of our path.
A certain level.
Mm-hmm. And at other times, it is where you have to be separated. But even though you're separated, you still have to be around, especially family, and you have to respect whatever they're doing. So it's a constant growth.
That it is. Let's do 221. Aval Abraham Lashka Ela Ishtaka Behoz Akai Behim Lav Lavial Dalahawa, Yalma Barnash, Yagin Alderea, Emboshe de Ihu, Raya Mehem Nutahemna. But Abraham considered only whether there might have been any righteous among them. And because there were not any righteous among them, he did not pray for any of them. And this is why there has never been a person in the world who protected his generation, as has Moses, the faithful shepherd. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, this pasuk is clear as written. The contemplation is as follows. Do you desire peace? Do you know death is an illusion? Then committing death to seek peace is necessary. Agree or disagree? Is this the danger to the logic? Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, in this pasuk, they're not mentioning Moses except in the era of Rav in the Exodus. Evidently, it didn't prevent this verse from giving him credit, so to speak, despite having, you know, him wanting to bring the era of Rav, even though Hashem didn't want him to.
But it's still criticizing Abraham in this pasuk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's praising Moshe without, as you say, mentioning bringing up the heir of Rav. So how does it say that in the earlier verse that we just read, number 220, how do we perceive Moshe as acting perfectly?
I guess because he said, blot me out of your book if you don't save them. Forgive them.
What it's saying is, it's the actions that you have, the consciousness you have. Even if your action is a mistake, you're not criticized for making a mistake. You're only criticized when you don't have the proper consciousness, when you don't bring people together, you don't include everything, then you can be criticized. As Abraham is criticized here for not praying for them. Even though God said, no, I'm still going to destroy the cities, Abraham should have prayed for them.
My remarks are that Abraham understood his position, and that's why he's Diot, and which he's the central column for the three upper sephirot. He knew his responsibility, and he knew his place in maintaining the, or birthing the nation, and that he took that responsibility as bringing both sides, which is true. What he wanted to do is to bring both sides together and unify them, just as Tiferet does for the on 10. So he had, his consciousness is way beyond what he truly understood about himself until he took on that role.
You're referring to Moses or Abraham?
I'm referring to Moses, not Abraham.
Okay.
That's why Moses is Diot, because he's, you know, central column for the three upper throat, absolute. So,
Moses, as the Redeemer, accepted the responsibility for every person in the generation.
Right.
Abraham never accepted responsibility for everyone in the generation. And yet he's criticized for not praying for them.
Right. Well, I think Abraham's goal was to bring people to know the one God. And then Moses' role was to bring those individuals that believed in what Abraham initiated and actually completed his role in doing so. So it was just a handoff. It's probably not a good word, to the next Redeemer to elevate the nation to another point in the tree of life, basically. I mean, they had different roles. Not, you know, Abraham.
They did have different roles. They absolutely had different roles. But within each of their roles, Abraham's role was as the individual and spreading the concept of one God to the world. So he should have been praying for the people who were not accepting his word. He was not that far away from them. Lot was living among them. Lot had been exposed to his teachings, so they weren't accepting his word. And so he excluded them based on God's judgment that they're not righteous, that they need to be destroyed because of the way they're living, their actions.
Well,
the Abraham is based on his role. It's not based on Moses' role.
But can it also be that generation was so different from Moses' generation?
Yes. But again, you're the leader of the generation. Abraham is the leader of his generation. His generation were idol worshipers. And he was saying, no, that's not the right path. And then he taught that. He lived that. But he wasn't saying that unless you followed my path, God's going to destroy the world. That's what Noah was teaching. If you don't follow what it means to do good, to help people, you're going to be destroyed. That's what Noah's message was to his generation. They're each leaders of the generation. How they approached it within that point, within their generation, what should they have done? They should have done what Moses did, which was to pray for them, to not accept Hashem's decree until it happens. That's the lesson for us. In doing this comparison, it's not that Noah wasn't righteous, he was. It's not that Abraham wasn't righteous, he was. But he could have been more righteous. by being more inclusive to the people of his generation and attempt to protect them through his prayers until the action takes place, until Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed, until the flood took place. Noah used the building of the ark, according to the Midrash, to spread the word. There's going to be a flood. You need to do repentance. You need to do teshuvah. Abraham was living his words, which is the Torah. Do good deeds. Be kind to people. But yet, when God set the decree, he didn't pray for them. That's the mistake. Until the action takes place, the prayers need to go forward, because you never know which prayer will be accepted.
Oh, I think Psalm 67 is helping us a lot in being able to see love for the other nations.
Yes.
You know, that's helping our generation. And I still think it's a coat when we shake the Lulavim, you know, and we bring all the species together to our hearts. You know, that it involves each one of them represent a type of person and their how they are with mitzvot and Torah or not with mitzvot and Torah. I think those physical rituals and prayers that that we say. I know with Psalm 67, it makes you stand, feel like you're there as a priest lighting the menorah and saying the prayer for all nations and thanking Hashem in the midst of it. You know, it's a beautiful psalm, really all the psalms, but that one in particular, I think, pulls us to praying for the nations.
In addition to what you're saying, and I just learned today, and we'll discuss it obviously more when we get to it, but if you read Psalm 100, it has five verses, but it's referred to as the Psalm of Thanksgiving. So, and it was recommended that you memorize those five verses in the Hebrew. When we get there, I plan to do the transliteration. So, but we are out of time. And our Rosh Kodesh event will be at 7 o'clock West Coast time. It's only a few hours away.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.